The American retail giant Target suffered an enormous data breach. We've got more Android vulnerabilities, per usual. Snapchat and WhatsApp had some small security problems. The official Starbucks iOS app is found vulnerable and fixed just as quickly. And for maybe the fourth month in a row, there's more trouble for Bitcoin, despite its high conversion rate. These and more are the topics of the first monthly news podcast of the new year. Welcome to the January edition of the Kaspersky Daily News Podcast. As always, we're here with Chris Brook from ThreatPost. How you doing, Chris?
Good. Good to be here.
All right. Well, why don't you get us started?
Okay, let's start off by talking about what else? The NSA. The National Security Agency's spying scandal raged onward this month. There are review panels and judges and former NSA employees coming out on every side of the surveillance question. U.S. President Barack Obama addressed part of the issue while ignoring others, the crypto subversion claims in particular, in a Rose Garden speech essentially announcing that while the metadata collection will continue, the data itself will no longer be stored by the government. In other words, the U.S. intelligence community likes the powers it currently holds and has no intention of giving them up.
Yeah, pretty small changes there. It was kind of nice to not have that to talk about the whole month, but the reason that we didn't talk about that for the whole month was because the biggest news of the month had to do with the continuation of the Target data breach saga. It was followed by similar but significantly smaller breaches at the upscale department store Neiman Marcus and the craft and home goods store Michaels. The Target breach exposed the credit card data of roughly 40 million customers and the personal info of an additional 70 million. The vast majority of the victims of these attacks were in the U.S., but the incidents sort of underscore what may well become a global problem. In just less than 30 days, the criminals who are believed to have perpetrated the attack broke into Target's network through, again, what's believed to be a vulnerable and eventually an infected machine, and from there they pushed malware called RAM Scraper malware to the point of sale terminals and onto the cash registers or maybe the servers that store the payment information. So essentially what happens is in order to authenticate the payments, Target and I think probably really any retailer has to examine the payment information in an unencrypted format. So the information is briefly stored in plain text in the random access memory, RAM memory, of whatever machine is handling the authentication process. RAM scrapers do just exactly what they sound like they do. They scrape the RAM and they steal the payment data from it. So this problem could easily become a global one as Microsoft ends support for its long-running and forever vulnerable XP operating system, which still happens to hold a surprisingly large 28% of the operating system market. Now, this may seem like a bit of a non sequitur, but unfortunately, many of these point-of-sale terminals run on Windows XP, as do, if you pay attention at the doctor's office, any number of medical and industrial systems as well. Even those that don't run on XP could easily contain any number of other vulnerabilities in some other part of the infrastructure. So the people that manage them may or may not install updates on the regular. I mean, it depends. So there's no real shortage of ways to get onto a corporate network, as we all know, but the real problem may be the malware itself. The Department of Homeland Security issued an advisory the other day, and they are warning of an increase in postings requesting point-of-sale types of malware on freelance developers' forums. Beyond that, it's apparently quite easy to retrofit banking and credential-stealing Trojans like Zeus so they can be used as RAM scrapers. You can already see the trend emerging here with the fact that Michaels and Neiman Marcus had breaches right after Target, though, to be fair, those breaches were likely underway before Target was reported. At any rate, criminals are going to see the success from the Target breach, and they're going to try and emulate that in locations in the U.S. and abroad.
On sort of a similar note, just regarding cybercrime and the like, 13 were indicted this past month for allegedly stealing more than $2 million from customers at gas stations across the southern United States. The Ring reportedly installed Bluetooth-enabled skimmers inside gas pumps to steal customers' card info and PIN numbers. Of course, if you don't know, skimmers are little devices that can be affixed to the front of ATM machines and obviously in this case gas pumps. So as long as they want to get the info, all they have to do is just drive up the pump and download the data wirelessly via Bluetooth. From there, they made around 70 withdrawals and deposits across Manhattan. They laundered the money and kept each transaction to under $10,000 to avoid suspicion.
Yeah, they ended up getting caught, though, so they didn't do that that great of a job, I suppose. I had to just now prevent myself from laughing while you were talking because, and this has nothing to do with security, but a squirrel just ran past my window with an entire piece of pizza in its mouth. All right, sorry about that. As always, we're gonna talk about passwords on the Kaspersky Daily Podcast, if only for a moment. So there was actually sort of good news this month. Password, PASSWORD, is no longer the most popular password, according to information pulled out of the big Adobe breach from a couple of months ago. The bad news is that perhaps the more easily guessable 123456 is now the most popular password. So that's, you know, not good news. But we also read about some research saying that narrative-based authentication may be a good way to get rid of passwords. The problem is we see this sort of stuff every couple of weeks, a new entrant in the race to replace passwords. But nothing. The reality is nothing ever replaces passwords. So you just sort of have to use a good one. If you use a good password, a strong, long, random password, you should be safe. But let's move away from passwords.
Let's get on to Snapchat, the of course much buzzed social photo sharing app. Could become a little bit more spammy going forward, though. Stephen Hickson, a computer engineering graduate from Clemson, found a way to bypass the app's human verification mechanism last week. This could make it easier for a botnet to abuse the verification process and create accounts on a massive scale to send spam. And sort of a similar note, earlier this month, our Secureless colleague, Dmitry Stuzev, I believe it is, found a batch of Portuguese language emails spreading banking malware disguised as WhatsApp downloads. WhatsApp, of course, is another really popular these days social media app that people use worldwide to chat. While we're on the subject of mobile, there was, of course, naturally, some new Android bugs. One of them, an Android VPN bypass bug, was discovered that could give an attacker the ability to intercept all the communications coming from the phone through the user's VPN, or virtual private network. This is particularly alarming because it's really totally invisible to the user. They may think they're operating on a secure encrypted connection, but they could be monitored. Another new strain of malware was also spotted that masquerades as an Android security app, but once installed, can steal text messages and intercept phone calls without the owners knowing any the wiser. More broadly, of all the mobile malware out there, really 99%, I think they said, is currently targeting Android devices.
But before you jump on to the next topic here, I read, I believe it was from Christian Funk, another one of the Secureless guys, was writing that there currently is, like, they don't really know of any malware that's targeting the Windows Mobile. But apparently Windows Mobile is integrated into the new Xbox, the Xbox One, so that the apps, you can use the same apps for the Xbox One that you can use for the Windows Mobile. And he's saying that that might give the market share for Windows Mobile enough of a kick that people will start developing malware for it. So that'll be interesting to look out for.
Might evolve over time, yeah.
Yeah.
Moving away from Android, away from Windows Mobile, iOS, the Starbucks app for iPhones and iPads, was actually found storing user information this past month. Information like geolocation data, device IDs, usernames, credentials, and passwords, storing all that in plain text. So basically, if you went to go to Starbucks to buy your triple espresso on ice, is that what you like, Brian?
Yeah, that actually is my drink.
It's your drink, I remember. anyway, if you have the app, all that information is contained inside, and it's being translated in plain text, which, as you know, and we know, not a good thing. Starbucks fixed the problem, which was reported last month. They reported pretty quickly. Couple weeks time, not bad. Although the researchers still claiming that there's a geolocation issue still there. So
yeah, they did fix that pretty quickly, which is admirable because they aren't a tech company. You know, they make coffee for a living. But on the other hand, you know, they make billions of dollars, so it's not too surprising. Moving away from mobile stuff, and this is just sort of an interesting tidbit that happened. So one day this month, all the internet users in China attempting to access web addresses not hosted on China's .cn top-level domain, so that means the ones that were trying to get to like .net, .org, .com, they were all redirected to the website of a company in the United States that provides anti-censorship solutions. I think at the time I reported on it, I didn't know this fact, but I think that the servers were located in Wyoming, of all places. It's not totally clear how it happened, but some experts believe that China's extensive censorship apparatus, which is known as the Great Firewall of China, may have backfired a bit. Like, the Chinese officials may have been looking into this anti-censorship company that they didn't like, and somehow that may have kicked back and caused everyone to redirect to it. It's not totally clear how it happened. To close on a positive note, though, Twitter is officially forcing TLS and SSL connections, so, you know, encrypted connections, on anyone attempting to make use of its application programming interface. So if you're familiar with Twitter, there are about 10,000 independent Twitter apps out there, like Hootsuite and TweetDeck, though TweetDeck may or may not be owned by Twitter. At any rate, these communicate with Twitter, and essentially the reason they work is because of Twitter's API, its application programming interface. All the developers attempting to run that API, which would be, you know, give their app the information it needs to essentially act as Twitter, will now have to move all of their data in an encrypted format, which is good security for everybody. I think that's about all we got for this month. Chris, thanks for coming on.
Of course. Good to be here.
Yeah, so enjoy your February, and we'll check back in next month.